Who have you hugged today? Was it a Hollywood hug or a serious squeezy bear hug? We do this out of affection, as a sign of caring, but there's more to that embrace. Hugs affect our physical and mental health. We sent our least touchy-feely reporter, that would be Tanya English, to New York to investigate the value of wrapping our arms around each other.
Me and hundreds of other people are lining up for a free hug from a 63-year-old South Indian woman called Amma the Hugging Saint. She's like a Pied Piper of compassion and a rock star of humanitarian work. This is the middle of her North American tour, with stops in Seattle, Boston, and Toronto. Her charity doesn't keep official count, but in each city, Amma will give a hug to thousands of people. We're at a huge convention center in Midtown Manhattan, and as her devotees stream into the hall, I ask what a hug from Amma feels like.
Like an explosion inside of you, yeah, an explosion in your heart.
You just feel like you're included, that she really wants to spread love and give love to everyone.
Some people stay here the whole night. She hugs everybody. It's just incredible. It's like she's in a trance. Wow. Nobody knows how she does it, but she does it. Without even going to the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't really like hugs. Not from strangers, and not even in my personal life. I get squirmy when friends try to hug me. Every couple of weeks, my husband and I get dinner with couple friends. The wife and I share the same mix of idealism and snark. Our husbands have a bromance built on football, beer, and chicken wings. At the end of the evening, we chat in the parking lot, and that's when things get awkward for me. The three of them say goodbye with bear hugs, and I don't really want to. But I've heard that hugs are good for you, and I'm starting to think that maybe I'm missing out. So I called a professional for advice.
So I'm Robin Dunbar. I'm Professor of Evolutionary Psychology at the University of Oxford.
Dunbar studies why our social lives are so complex, and lately he's been researching and writing about hugs.
I don't hug everybody. I tell people I'm not really... I'm
not,
You're not a hugger.
A hugger.
I'm not a hugger, right. Is there something wrong with me?
Well, no. Turns out that your attachment style, that's the sort of how you relate to other people, varies, you know, from cold, reserved folk like us Northern Europeans to sort of warm, all over you, Mediterranean style.
Dunbar's team surveyed about 1,300 people from the UK, Russia, Finland, France, and Italy, and asked what kind of touch feels acceptable from family, friends, or a stranger. Turns out that most people prefer a simple handshake when they're meeting someone for the first time.
But what was really astonishing was the Finns, who are the most touchy-feely people in Europe. Personally, I put it down to the fact that they spend all their time sitting in saunas.
Besides the cultural differences, Dunbar says we all have an individual tolerance for touch. Physical contact triggers a flood of endorphins and other happy chemicals in the brain. Some people get satiated, filled up faster.
Which is clearly you and me.
For other people who might have more endorphin receptors, it takes a lot more snuggling before they're satisfied. Health researchers in Pittsburgh asked people about the social support in their lives, and they found that hugs can protect you from stress-induced sickness. Robin Dunbar says the endorphin system seems to tune up the immune system.
Hugging probably is good for your physical health and by extension, almost certainly for your mental health as well.
Researchers have been interested in the power of non-sexual caring touch for a long time. In the 1990s, scientists examined the behavior in the brains of neglected orphans in Romania. But Dunbar says even today, the most famous study on touch was a social isolation experiment from the 1950s. Those scientists studied a bunch of adorable, scampering, big-eared rhesus monkeys.
What they had done was to look to see what happened when babies were reared by pseudo-mothers that provided plenty of milk, but no physical touch. So they would
This pioneering experiment from the University of Wisconsin-Madison was documented, and you can see the film on YouTube.
Let me show you a monkey raised on a nursing wire mother. Actually, this baby spends from 17 to 18 hours a day on the cloth mother and less than 1 hour a day on the wire mother.
The monkeys that got to rub up against a doll wrapped in terry cloth developed the skills that they needed to become effective adults. The babies raised by a wire mother never learned those skills. And in the deprived monkeys, lack of comfort caused physical problems, chronic diarrhea, and trouble digesting milk. There were also personality differences. When the scientists used a scary metal robot with flashing eyes and wild waving arms to frighten the monkeys...
He's scared, all right. And he does what any child will do.
If there was a cloth mother in the room, the babies ran to her for comfort. And after a few minutes and a cuddle, they got bold enough to venture out or even attack the robot.
There are a lot of things that people can live through, and not having any touch or affection is really damaging.
That's New York therapist Hillary Jacobs Hendel. A few years ago, she started using touch in her work with clients. When a patient is struggling with grief or psychological pain, a hand on the shoulder or a hug can help.
It feels like the most underutilized free resource there is.
Primates groom each other to create social bonds, and when humans touch, there's a drop in the stress hormone cortisol, and a rush of another hormone that's like a glue for friendship. Jacobs Hendel says touch is calming, a way to regulate the nervous system. Light pressure on the skin sends signals to the vagus nerve, which in turn slows the heart rate and lowers blood pressure.
When we are upset, and if we remember, and it's okay to get a hug, it's medicinal. Not for everybody, though. I always ask permission before we do things like this. How would it feel? May I suggest? Would you be open to trying this? And if they say no, we don't do it.
If a client was sexually abused, touch can be taken in the wrong way. And inexperienced therapists have to make sure physical affection doesn't turn sexual. Jacobs Hendel says in the Freudian tradition, any touch between therapist and patient is taboo. So she understands the hesitation to hug in the therapeutic setting, or to be hugged.
So if someone's not a hugger, that's fine, and I would never judge that, but I would get curious, and I would want to get curious with them, because I think we're born being huggers. It's just wired in.
And that's what brought me to New York to see Amma, a short, stout, smiling lady who's hugged millions of people over the years. 30 years ago, Amma delivered her message and gave out her hugs in people's living rooms. Today, she sells t-shirts and has a huge following.
Wait, let me interview you before you go in.
Okay, great.
I met Esther Sesney on the sidewalk, standing in the rain. She's a platinum blonde with a pixie cut and bright pink lipstick. She came all the way from Santa Monica, California, to hug Amma.
My story is about the science of hugs, so I could just give you a hug. Why would people line up to get a hug from her? What's the difference?
You know, you have to give it a try to see what happens for you. And everyone has a different experience. It made me feel really loved. And she whispers, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter.
That'll get you.
And the way she smells and the way she is and just her and she talks to people when you're there. I think it's just moving to me how much she gives, no matter what.
Amma has a diamond nose stud and a touch of gray at her temples. She wears all white and a dab of yellow and red paint on her forehead. Her entourage lays down a maroon carpet, and she enters to the sound of a conch horn and tinkling bells. I'm not sure it's possible, but if anyone can make me like hugs, it has to be the hugging saint. But I'll have to wait and see. First, everyone gets a number, and it's kind of like taking your turn in the deli line.
This is the beginning.
Amma speaks for a bit about compassion. There's chanting and music. I eat some masala dosa, a potato-filled crepe. And then, about 3 hours later, it's almost my turn.
So meditation's about to start. Amma's gonna come, and I have to turn up all my equipment.
Surgical items.
And then, finally, I'm on the stage. Amma's seated, surrounded by cushions, and her handlers ask me to approach on my knees. I shuffle forward, and she smiles and gathers me in, and then hugs me even closer. She's warm and solid, and she does smell good. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, five Mississippi. Maybe 15 seconds later, Amma whispers something that sounds like, Siri, 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 Siri. I get one more quick squeeze, and she lets me go. It's not life-changing for me, but it's a very long hug. And that might explain all the smiley, happy faces in the convention center. Scientists say that the hugs we give to an acquaintance or a new friend last about 3 seconds. But hugging for 20 seconds sends out a surge of the cuddle hormone oxytocin. And that creates intimacy, trust, and connection. Pretty sure you can't get that with my preferred greeting, a handshake.
For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English. Come on, come on, come on, come on, not to-